We are going to begin. We are going to begin our classes, okay, in Buddhist way by paying homage to the Buddha, and we are going to recite this one. So I'd like to ask all of you to stand up and do this with me. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Thank you. Please be seated. I wonder if those at the back can see. If you can't see, maybe. Can you try? At least they can. This is mindfulness practice. This is mindfulness meditation practice at Oxford University.
When I first took my mindfulness.
University of Oxford Mindfulness Project.
To be honest, when I first took my mindfulness class, I didn't really understand it. Because, you know, you hear about those like philosophical ideas, like in the news and stuff, we just think it has no relevance to you. So I just wasn't paying attention at all. I was just like talking to my friends and doing whatever. And then like the second mindfulness class, I actually found it really, really helpful. And I started to use it in day-to-day life, like my brother, my homework.
Once you've done your homework, you just need a break, so you can't just lie down and sleep. It only takes like 10 minutes, so it's enough just to relax your brain.
So mindfulness is essentially about attention, and it's about being able to attend to whatever we choose to attend to and inhibit things that come into mind.
I'd say my best definition of mindfulness, it's not about developing fantastic meditative skills that mean you can sit for 3 hours and not engage in the world, but actually that allow you to recognize that emotional states are able to be controlled.
I'm a clinical psychologist by training. One of the things that is most striking about teaching mindfulness classes, I teach them within the NHS to people with recurrent depression, is it's incredibly energizing. So there's a lot of enthusiasm around mindfulness. There's interest in the media, there's interest in Westminster, right the way throughout the system. And what we're trying to do at the Universities of Oxford and Exeter and Bangor and other places is begin to make sure that some of the really fundamental questions we have around mindfulness are underpinned by good science. Last year what we did was we ran a feasibility study with 522 young people in secondary schools. And what we found was that levels of stress and low-grade depressive symptoms went down in those who received the mindfulness training compared to the control groups. And what was most interesting about this study was at the time of greatest stress in the exam period, the difference between the mindfulness schools and the non-mindfulness schools became larger. So people seem to be able to use the mindfulness most at times of greatest stress.
When you know that it actually works, you will actually do it to try and help you. You won't just be doing it because you're told to. It's just another thing that you learn that can help you. Like, you know, when you first learn maths, you know, an equation, it helps you for your test. Or when you first learn science, it helps you for this, helps you for that. So I think this was an all-rounder and it helped you for everything.
You never realise how actually loud and, like, noisy your life is. You're constantly talking, someone's shouting somewhere, and it's you just take a step back and realize, wow, how have I been doing this for so long?
In mindfulness, we were texting each other, dot B.
The dot stands for stop, and the B stands for, like, just be yourself, be in the moment, you know, and also breathe. Mindful actual texting your friends, so you don't have to say stop, read B, you just say, you know, dot B, which I think is quite smart to do. So, like, when your friend is saying, oh, I forgot to do my homework, you can just say dot B.
They love going home and teaching their parents about what they've learned. Mindfulness has been very well received among staff and teachers within the school, within the academy.
The next step is we will need schools to help us roll out mindfulness interventions in school.
I would say to schools who've heard about mindfulness and are considering introducing it, don't start with a blanket approach. That starting with staff will prove its worth, and sharing that with children becomes much more natural.
As a child, I was incredibly anxious. I would have minor panic attacks about spelling tests. I would dread school, and I would find it difficult to sleep, quite highly strung as an 8-year-old. Luckily, I've grown out of that quite a bit, but also mindfulness has played a huge part in that. Being able to just unwind me from the ball of stress that I allow myself to become, to think, right, take a moment, it's not that bad, it's going to be okay. So having that as a child in school would have done wonders for me, I think.
Okay, this is from my university, Oxford. We have a center, Oxford Mindfulness Center, where people research in mindfulness, how to bring mindfulness meditation into the classroom, into working life, that sort of thing. And you can see this one of the books I have it here. It's called Buddha's Brain. That is over there. This is one of the books written on this. But of course, this book is written in America at the University of California. But you also have another book. This book is... This book is called Siddhartha Spring. Siddhartha, Siddhartha Minda, as we know in Burmese, Siddhartha is the name of the Buddha as well. So Siddhartha Spring, this is also how scientists trying to understand our brain, people's brain, through meditation and neurology. So today I just would like to introduce you that such thing exists. And you can learn this kind of skill to, you know, so that you can cope with your stress. How many people find homework stressful? Okay. You know, this will be helpful for you. Just how to calm down. Before we do anything, of course, you know, science is evidence-based, so is meditation. Meditation is also practice-based. Okay, so we have to begin with practice. I'd like to meditate with you for maybe a few minutes. I'd like to suggest, because you're older, the earlier we meditated 4 minutes, I think you have to do better, a lot better. And how long you think you should meditate? How many minutes? 30? Wow, okay. And what about you? What about your group? Any suggestion? What about you? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What about you? 10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes. What about your group? 15 minutes. I think I have a big task of compromising all the suggestions. What about you? What about your group? How long we should meditate? 10 minutes. Okay. What about you? 1 hour. I like you very much. 1 hour. What about you? 30 minutes. And you? 1 year. Oh, very good. I hope you're not kidding when you say 1 year. What about you? 20 minutes. Okay. 20 minutes. The thing is that, okay, we haven't got a lot of time. We still have another class in the afternoon. We have to try to fit a few minutes of meditation into our program today. Of course, you have to obviously do a lot better than 4 minutes. The earlier class, they did 4 minutes. That is so. What about going for double? So they say 4 minutes. Shall we go for 8 minutes? Okay. I suggest like this, okay? We go for 8 minutes, and if you think we need more, at the end, towards the end, if we still have time, we do some more, okay? But this one, we need to do 8 minutes meditation. This is how to calm yourself down, how to recognize your emotion. Okay, we are going to do practical meditation now. As you sit on the chair, I suggest that you sit upright. Upright. Look ahead. And put your palms together. Your palms on top of each other. And put them on your lap. And you can start breathing in and out, slow and gentle. Breathing in, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathing out 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathing in 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathing in and out, slow and gentle. If your mind starts wandering, it's okay. Don't fight with the wandering mind. Instead, you should just accept it. You should acknowledge it. Yes, this is wandering mind. Soon it will change. This is wandering mind. This is wandering mind. And then return to breathing. Continue observing the breath again. In and out, slow and gentle. You don't need to try very harsh. Just be natural, relax. The whole point is about being relaxed. We're not trying to get anything. We're not trying to gain anything. Instead, we're trying to understand our mind, our emotional habit. Breathing in and out, slow and gentle. from time to time, you will notice some emotion, such as boredom. Being bored is an emotion. So just acknowledge that this is boredom. This is boredom. Sometimes there is fear. Sometimes there is anxiety, worry. So just name them. Just name them. And then release them. This is fear. This is fear. This is worry. This is worry. Then return to breathing after you have acknowledged your worry. Breathe in and out, slow and gentle. It's okay to have worry. As long as we acknowledge them. As long as we acknowledge it properly, in time, and then it's okay. Feel the air going into your nostril and coming out. Okay, now the time is up. So, 8 minutes, how did you find? Your group, how did you find? Was it very long? Was it very long? It didn't look very long. Okay. How do you find? 8 minutes, was it very long? Or was it calming? Calming. What about you? You feel?
Long. Yeah.
You feel like it's really long, yes. 8 minutes. It can be very long, it can be very short. That's how our mind is being judgmental. If we're interested in something, 8 minutes is nothing. If we're not interested in anything, in something, 8 minutes seems like ages. What about you? What about your experience? Calm me. Can I have another microphone? Where is the other microphone? Let's see. Yeah. Okay. How was it? Can you?
It was calming.
Calming. And what about you?
It was peaceful.
Peaceful. Any question?
It was peaceful.
Peaceful. What about your group? It was nice. Okay. What about you? Short. The 8 minutes was
really short.
Very short, yes. Time flies means when we enjoy doing something. Okay? Time flies. That means time, the time looks very short because we enjoy something. What about you boys? How did you find it?
A little
short. Short. What about you? A bit long for you. Yes. You see, this is how our emotion plays. If you're not interested in something, if you're not peaceful, it looks, okay, it seems ages. But if you're interested, then, you know, you just enjoy and you don't know the time has passed very quickly. So this is the kind of skill that you're going to be doing. I'm going to be doing one exercise with you. I think you may be too old to do a lot of stories. I don't know if you are still interested in stories. Are you? Last year we have done some story. You remember the two princes? One naughty one, the other. You helped me read that. One is naughty, the other is very kind. And the naughty one, he shot at a bird. He injured the bird. And they quarrel who should get the bird. So we might do that, but might do that. I think I suppose that some of you have read this one, some of you are new to this story, so we might as well repeat this once again, this story. I will have maybe about 4 volunteers to read this story. 4 volunteers. Can you raise your hand? Any volunteer to read this story?
Hi, everyone. You're just...
I want 4 people to come here and help me read this story. Okay, please come here. Please come here. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. I need about 3 more. The kind prince. This one, so all together, five of you, maybe one paragraph each, and you go around like that, okay? Okay, come here, come to the middle, please, come. Yeah, from here.
The kind prince. While the new baby was still very young, his mother, Queen Maya, died. Shortly before she passed away, the queen said to her sister, "Soon I shall not be able to take care of my baby anymore."
This is about the kind prince. Okay, is it the? Actually, let me. Yes. You haven't finished. You still have one more. Sentence, sir.
Dear sister, after I have gone, please look after.
Okay, Siddhartha. Okay, thank you. Siddhartha is Prince Siddhartha. Who is Prince Siddhartha? The Buddha. Thank you. Okay, please.
Her sister promised that she would. She loved her little prince very much and brought him up as if he were her own child. The prince grew into a bright, handsome, and kind-hearted boy. His father, the king, arranged for him to be educated by the best teachers in the kingdom, and very quickly he showed his remarkable intelligence. After the first few days of classes, the teachers reported to the king, "Your Majesty," they said, "the prince does not need us anymore. After only a few lessons, he has learned everything we have to teach him. In fact, he has taught us a few things that we ourselves never knew before."
Thank you. Thank you.
Hearing this.
Hearing this, the king's pride in his son grew even greater. With his intelligence, my son will certainly grow up to be a wise and powerful king, he thought, and this made the king very happy.
But there is something else about this boy that was even more remarkable in his intelligence. He had a very kind, gentle, and loving nature. The rest of his young playmates enjoyed the rough and tumble games of small children, or pretended they were soldiers and fought with one another.
He loved the small animals that live in the palace gardens and became friendly with them all. The animals knew that the prince would never hurt them, so they were not afraid of him. Even the wild animals, who would run away if anyone else came near, came to greet the prince when he entered the garden. They approached him fearlessly and ate from his hand the food he always brought with him for them.
One day, as the prince was sitting in the garden, a flock of white swans flew overhead. Suddenly, an arrow shot up into the air, striking one of them. It fell out of the sky and landed at the prince's feet. The arrow was stuck into the wing.
"Oh, you poor swan," Siddhartha whispered as he gently picked up the wounded bird. "Do not be afraid. I shall take care of you. Here, let me remove this arrow." Then with one hand, he gently stroked the bird, calming its fear. With his other hand, he slowly pulled out the painful arrow. The prince was carrying a special lotion with him and softly rubbed it into the bird's wing, all the time speaking in a low, pleasant voice so that the swan would not become afraid. Finally, he took off his own silk shirt and wrapped it around the bird to keep it warm.
After a short time, another young boy came running into the garden. It was the prince's cousin, Devata. He was carrying a bow and some arrows, and he was very excited. Siddhartha, Siddhartha, he shouted, great news! I got a swan. You should have seen me. I hit it with my first shot. It fell down somewhere near here. Help me look for it.
Then Devata noticed one of his arrows with blood still on its tip lying on the ground near Siddhartha's feet. Looking closer, he saw that the prince was holding something in his arms and realized it was the swan he was searching for. Hey, you took my swan, he yelled. Give it back to me. I shot it, and it's mine. Devata grabbed at the bird, but the prince held onto it, keeping his angry cousin from even touching the injured creature.
I found this bird lying here bleeding, the prince said firmly, and I don't plan to give it to anyone while it is still wounded. But it's mine, shouted Devata again. I shot it fair and square, and you've stolen it from me. Give it back, or I'll take it back. The two boys stood arguing like this for some time. Devata was getting angrier and angrier, but Siddhartha refused to give him the swan. Finally, the prince said, when two grown-ups have a quarrel like this, they settle it in a cart. In front of a group of wise people, each one explains the story of what happened. Then the wise people decide who's right. I think you and I should do the same.
Devata did not like this idea very much, but because it was the only way he could ever get the swan back, he agreed. So the two of them went to the palace and appeared in front of the king and his mistress.
Minister.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
The people at court smiled at each other when they heard what these two children wanted. To think, they said, that they want to take up our time over a
mere bird.
But the king said, both Sahara.
Both Siddhartha.
Siddhartha
and Devata
are royal prince, and I am glad they brought their scroll to us.
I think
it is very important that as future rulers, they become used to the ways of this court. Let the trial begin.
Thank you. Very good.
So in turn, each of the boys described what happened. Then the ministers tried to decide which boy was right and should therefore have the swan. Some thought Devata shot the bird, therefore it should belong to him. Others thought Siddhartha found the swan, therefore it should belong to him. And for a long time, the ministers talked and argued about the case.
Finally, into the court came a very old man whom no one remembered ever seeing before. But because he looked so wise, they told him the story of the boys and their swan. After listening to what they had to say, he declared, everyone values his or her life more than anything else in the world. Therefore, I think that the swan belongs to the... person who tried to save its life, not the person who tried to take its life away. Give the swan to Siddhartha.
Everyone agreed that what the wise men said was true, so they decided to let the prince keep the swan. Later, when the king tried to find the old man and reward him for his wisdom, he was nowhere to be found. This is very strange, the king thought. I wonder where he came from and where he went, but no one knew. This was just one of the many unusual things that happened concerning the prince. So many people thought he must be a very special child indeed.
Thank you. If you want to remain here, I have one other book, one other story. This one, as some of you already learned about this with me last time, is about two people quarreling. They are cousins, and one happened to be Prince Siddhartha of Buddha. So this incident brought the best out of the prince who would be our Buddha, who would become our Buddha. That's kindness. Okay, he was kind to animals. He was kind to people around him, to everyone. So this is one story. The other story is from this one. This is short. You can read the... It's this one. It's a new one. Okay. I bet... Okay. So any of you has seen this one. So, please. The title also. The title. This one and this one.
I Am Peace, a book of mindfulness by Susan Ford, art by Peter H. Reynolds. There are times when I worry about what might happen next and what happened before.
Okay, next one.
The thoughts in my head are like rushing water.
And I feel like a boat with no anchor.
Being carried away. I give myself a moment. I take a breath. Then I tell myself it's all right.
I feel the ground beneath my feet and steady myself.
What happens is that sometimes you are very stressed out. At that moment, what you should do, you give yourself a minute. You give yourself a moment. And you take a breath. It is to breathe in and out. Just one moment.
And start to notice the here and the now. My thoughts begin to settle. My mind begins to clear. I am peace.
You can see when he says he is peace, his hands are quite balanced in the air. And you can see all the animals are drawn to him and they look relaxed.
I can watch my worries gently pop and appear. Disappear. I let things go.
I can say what I feel inside out loud. I know myself.
I can share kindness with others. I make a difference.
I can hug a tree and thank it for its beauty and strength. I connect to nature.
I can watch the clouds make shapes against the sky. I know wonder.
Okay, you can go back to your place now. Thank you. You can see these two books, okay, they bring They bring to you two ideas, two sets of qualities. This one, peace inside. Actually, this person inside this book, you know, he is not peaceful at the beginning. A lot of worry running through his head, and his thoughts are like what? Rushing water. Rushing water, isn't it? Running very quickly. Rushing water. And he feels that he is getting carried away by his anxiety and worry. But he gives himself a moment just to breathe. Okay? Now, let's give ourselves just one moment to breathe. Just close your eyes. Count your breathing. 1, 2, 5. Okay. Just by giving yourself this kind of simple moment during your exam, during your homework, during any competition, you're actually settling yourself down. You're actually calming yourself. So this is about the skill, how to calm yourself. This is another quality, which is kindness, okay, in our Buddha. And these kind of qualities is what the Buddha taught, and people these days, as I mentioned earlier, people these days in the West, they call this the Buddha's brain. Can we read one passage? Next one. One passage. Next slide. This one. This is assistant professor, by the name of Richard Hackler. Assistant professor at John F. Kennedy University in California. He says about this book. Can someone read it? Can any of you read this? Can any of you? Okay. Can you see it?
With the mind of a scientist, the perspective of a psychologist, and the wise heart of a parent and devoted meditator, Rick Hansen has created a guide for all of us who want to learn about and apply this scintillating new research that embraces neurology, psychology, and authentic spiritual inquiry. Up-to-date discoveries combined with state-of-the-art practices make the book of make this book an engaging read. Buddha's Brain is at the top of my list.
It's this book. Thank you. So I want you to know that this tradition is here in Myanmar. It may not be presented to you in this way, but this is how people, how scientists in America, in England, how they use it. This book is from England. It's also by a scientist. This was Siddhartha's Brain. Some of us have translated it. And this is how they study brain when you are stressed out, when you are very stressed, when the situation is very stressful, how your brain works. And when you are calm, how your brain is. Okay. But I'm not going into detail about this today because we don't have time. And we have all these things available online. You can just Google Buddha's Brain. And you have all the lectures in there. What I want to tell you today is, what I want to tell you today is that I'm going to do some exercise with you about emotion, so that you know your emotion when you go through them. Okay, we have negative emotion as well as positive one, and the psychologist. Like the Buddha's brain, it has one chapter dedicated to what I'm going to tell you, that we have two wolves inside. It's from this book. Two wolves inside, black one and white one. If you think about negative, you think anything negative, you are feeding the negative wolf, the black wolf inside you. If you think negative about yourself, you're actually feeding the negative wolf inside you. The negative is the black one here. If you think negative about someone next to you or other people, again, you are feeding the black wolf inside you. Remember, the black wolf and the white wolf, they don't eat the same food. The white wolf eats anything positive. The black one takes in anything negative. So it's your choice in day-to-day life, okay, whether you want to be positive or negative. And that choice has consequences. Okay? Prince Siddhartha and Prince Devadatta, we have heard the story now, one story. Can you name some of the black wolves, the food of the black wolf inside this book, like what happened in the minds of Prince Devadatta?
Anger.
Number one, anger. Another one. Can someone help me? Can someone help me, Stephen?
Greedy,
yes. And how Prince Devadatta behaved? How Prince Devadatta behaved towards the animal? How did he behave? Was he very kind? Prince Devadatta, the one who shot at the... So, how do you describe his behavior?
Selfish.
Selfish? That's another thing. Yes. Yes. Cruel. This is the word I'd like to hear.
Cruel.
This is the word I'd like to hear. You know, he behaves towards animal very cruel. Yes.
Merciless.
I think something is wrong with the microphone, so you're not supposed to get very close to the... Yeah. Okay, thank you. We got the message now. Okay. In this book, we have discussed that you have some black wolves in there. The brain, can I see the brain earlier? Sorry. At the next one. Yes, this one. No. Yeah, this one. You see, the amygdala and hippocampus. These are scientific terms in neurology. Amygdala here is called the old brain. And hippocampus is called the new brain. And whenever you think bad about people, about yourself, okay? Whenever you blame yourself, whenever you blame other people, this part of your brain is working, okay? But whenever you think positive about people, about yourself, this part of your brain is working. So two different parts, two different regions of your brain are working. So this is what we call the black wolf. This is the white wolf. The black wolf and the white wolf, this is a psychological term. But these are neurological terms. Okay? Neurological term. This one, it has fear as its basis. So, the exercise I want to do with you now is that you discuss with your friend next to you, with someone sitting next to you, two, three people, and of course first you're trying to draw two wolves, black and white. White, okay? And then trying to name, okay, how many the negative emotion into the black wolf. As many negative emotions as you know them. And then the positive emotion, you write them into the white wolf, okay? So, Pongpo and Sally, if you can help supervise.
Two wolf, white wolf and black wolf. Black wolf we have the negative emotion, and white wolf we get the positive emotion.
You should draw a huge wolf. Okay, draw a big wolf, a big white wolf, and a big
wolf,
black wolf, and then write down as many positive emotion, as many negative emotion as you can. They are drawing black wolf, two wolves, black and white. And then, you know, they have to kind of name as many negative emotion together with the black wolf and positive emotion with the white one. attention, please. Attention. Okay, we have about 4 more minutes. After that, then I would like to invite some of those who would like to volunteer to come and share the experience. Okay, you can talk about your wolf. Okay, thank you. Okay. What I'm asking you to do is to work together to compile a list of positive emotion and a list of negative emotion so that you get to know them. Okay. Thank you. I think the time is up. We are going to sit in silence for 2 minutes. We are going to focus on the white wolf. I often mention to people a theory called 80-20 theory. 80% in your life is going on very well. 20% needs improving. But you spend 80% of your time on the 20%, meaning you multiply 4 times of what actually goes wrong in your life. You multiply the 4 times. So it looks your problem is very big. But the good thing in your life, 80%, you only paid 20% attention to that, meaning you reduce its significance 4 times. This happened to people. So if someone says something negative to you about you, you remember that for a long time. If someone says well done, you don't quite register that in your mind. And so the reason is that because we usually pay more attention to negative things. So now, I'm going to do another short meditation with you, maybe 2 to 3 minutes. This time, we only be thinking about good things. Good thing about yourself at home. Good thing about mommy and daddy at home. And then, something nice about your school, about your class, about the subject you like, about the school activity that you do. So we are going to be meditating for another 3 minutes, okay? sit upright, okay, everyone. We are going to do 3 minutes positive emotion meditation. Just think about all the good things. First at home, what you enjoy doing. Then something nice about mom and dad. And then about your school. Anything at all that pain, but you have a choice to focus on something you like, something that interests you, something that is positive. Breathing in and out, slow and gentle. Now think about your best friend. Think about their good qualities, their positive characters. Nice thing about them. think about your teacher, one of the teachers in the school that you think is very generous, very kind. We can even think about people who annoy us. We can think about good things in those people who annoy us. Certainly they have something good in them. And it's for our own happiness that we see this. It's not an acknowledgement, it's not weakness to acknowledge their happiness. Because according to the Buddha, everything is interrelated. Their unhappiness will affect you, and your unhappiness will have a similar impact on them. We are related. We are interconnected. Breathing in and out, slow and gentle. Acknowledge the positive things in your life. At home, and also with your friends, with the school community. Thank you. Anyone wants to volunteer and share the experience? Any group, I want you to, if you have, okay, to present as a group. Anyone has any, you don't have to, but if you wish to, okay, we have a few minutes. Maybe about 5 minutes, 10 minutes of time for you to share. Anyone wants to share? About your drawing, yes.
Yeah. Are you first?
Can you stand up?
About the
two or three of you can stand up together. Hello, attention please, attention. Okay. It's up to you. It's up to you. Please.
About the negative wolf, black wolf, is he's rude, selfish, cruel, disrespectful. He's jealous. He's mean.
He's anger.
About the positive white wolf is he has empathy.
He's kind.
He's pure. He's humble.
He has sympathy.
He has happiness.
He understands people.
He is mature.
He's fair.
He's friendly.
He's caring.
He's polite.
Very good. Very, very good. I'm learning a lot more from you today. Thank you. Over there at the back, please.
White wolf, kindness,
kind-hearted,
sharing,
respect,
happiness,
sympathy,
empathy,
loyal.
Black wolf, bullying,
stealing,
disrespectful,
cruel and evil.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Lovely. More? Okay, any more?
Things about the black wolf are cruelty, evil, anger, arrogant,
selfish,
greedy, disloyal,
rude.
Wicked, unfaithful,
villainy,
white wolf, giving,
helpful,
respectful, generous,
faithful.
All.
Thank you. Well done. Well done.
Black wolf, anger, greed, sadness, negativity, drama, jealousy. White wolf, excitement, positivity, happiness, food, selfless, compassion, giving.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who wanted to talk more?
you. Just screw it harder to finish. You finish. Who want to talk more? Who want to talk more? Who want to share your experience? Can you try? Where? Okay.
Can you pay attention, please? Okay, we have to show respect, and this is part of the white wolf. We have to pay respect and attention to those who are sharing their experience. Thank you.
White wolf, happiness, empathy, sympathy, love, kindness, appreciation, and helpful.
Black wolf, anger, greed, selfishness, guilt, hatred, cruelty, mean, disrespectful, violent.
Thank you. Very good. Okay. This is the last one. If anyone is going to share, I'm sorry because we are running out of time. Okay, one last group. If anyone wants to share. Please.
The white wolf represents happiness, safety, love, forgiveness, gratefulness, trust, respect, loyalty, health, kindness, empathy, generosity, helpfulness, and acceptance. While the black wolf for me represents sadness, danger, cruelty, violence, envy, jealousy, spite, anger, disrespectfulness, betrayal, ignorance.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And we have done some work, okay, very good work on positive emotion and negative emotion. I'd like to invite you to meditate for 2 more minutes. You think you have had enough meditation? This is 2 more minutes, okay? This time, you're going to focus on batteries. Maybe in you, maybe in someone else. What we have to do is we have to use compassion. We have to cultivate compassion to embrace those negative emotions. We have to. Okay? If you. Him or her. So what we have to understand is that that person is suffering. Suffering. Okay? So if that person is in pain, that if that person is suffering, then what we have to do is we have to feel compassion for that person. Okay, 2 minutes, please. Silence. Breathing in and out, slow and gentle. Just nice breathing so that your lung and your body gets sufficient oxygen. And with that, you are able to confront any negativity with a lot of positive energy. You're not going to be violent. You're not going to use negative emotion to manage another or someone else's negative emotion. Just empathize with them. Feel compassion for their pain, because they don't know anything better but to express their pain through gossip, through jealousy. When they feel jealous, that's because they feel insecure. So we don't really need to put them down, to bring them down anymore. They are already feeling very low. So here, something positive is thinking how to help them, how to help ourselves and how to help them. Many of you have rightly pointed out that being helpful is the food of the white wolf. We need to be helpful to ourselves and others. You have seen in the story, I Am Peace, that when someone is balanced emotionally, he can share kindness with others. Like Prince Siddhartha, he can share his kindness with animals, with people. Breathe in and out slow and gentle. In and out slow and gentle. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we are going to move to the next stage, which is ritual to offer something to the Buddha statue, like flowers and water.
Let's offer the flowers and water to the Buddha. Please listen to the my instruction. Let's go one by one. If we arrive in front of the Buddha, shall we recite
Start from the back.
Yeah. May I respectfully offer the flower and water to the Buddha. And then you, when after each another, slip on your shoes and slipper at your place, come with one by one, and then we pay homage to the Buddha. Now let's see how to pay homage to the Buddha. See, Ali will demonstrate for everyone. Not yet starting, I will call later. Siali, may I invite you to demonstrate how to be. Let's pay attention to the Siali, how to be homage to the Buddha by touching 5 points, like forehead, our 2 palms, 2 knees, to touch into the ground.
Paying homage.
Pay attention at the Siali. Now, second time, paying homage at the Buddha. And third time, paying homage to the Buddha, Bhapaya. And don't bring your water bottle or anything left at your place.
You got the action also. You got it. Okay.
Everyone got it. Now let's start. So we can get the flower over there one by one. Take the flower and water and offer to the Buddha and reciting very slowly, like, may I offer, may I respectfully offer the water and butter and flour to the Buddha, and then pay homage, and then go back to your place. Thank you. Now you can pay homage to the Buddha three times.
The flowers are beautiful.
Now we are offering flower and water to the Buddha. Can you all be silent to respecting each other? Okay. Now they are offering, and then pay attention to them. Don't talk each other. Okay.
The flowers, they represent positive emotion, like what you have discussed earlier. The flowers are beautiful. They represent positive emotion that you encounter in your daily life. By offering flowers, may you discover more of the beauty of positive emotion.
Let us refill the white roof by paying attention to other, respect to other. Let us stay, be quiet. Let's feed the white roof. Just now, Sierra teaching us by paying respect to other. That's the feeding the white roof. Now they do are feeding the black roof here. See, they not respect to other. It's not good. Yeah. Okay. Please, come down.